Oh, what a great day the Lord has made, and what a blessing it is to be in God's house. Second Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to read verses 12 through 15, and focus for this portion of our study is prayer. We're desiring God through prayer. Getting over that, to go through the motions of praying, but where we actually accomplish through prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God in honor and reverence? Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Then I shut up heaven, or when I shut up heaven, and there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we pray your will be done in this service today. You knowing the needs in the hearts of everyone present, I pray that you will draw all men to you. Father, this is your service. We place it in your hands. It's all about you. And we pray your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a passage of Scripture that we have used, heard, listened to, if you're like me, all of our lives. And so, as we look at it today, I did not want to look at it in the same way that I've looked at it in the past. I wanted it to be new, fresh. Ask God to speak to me through this text today, and I believe He has. And today, I want to call your attention, first of all, to verse 13. Verse 13 says, when I shut up heaven. When I shut up heaven. I want you to understand, right, when it says, when I shut up heaven, it's talking about God. God says, when I shut up heaven, when I shut up heaven and there's no rain, when I command the locusts to devour the land, when I send pestilence. That sounds rough, doesn't it? See, most people want to think today that God never does things that are painful and harsh. Simply not true. Listen, God is God. He's on His throne. Nothing ever happens unless God initiates it or allows it to be done. Right? He can do anything. He can stop anything. He's God. Therefore, you know, as we look at this text, we're reminded, okay, yeah, God does send pestilence. God does send problems. You look, you know, in the book of Genesis, in the life of Noah, you remember what happened? There was a flood. People today would say, oh, that's not my God. He's the only God. Right? You look at Israel. God allowed His children to be in Egyptian captivity for hundreds of years. And if you go back in the book of Exodus and read about that, you'll find where it was harsh captivity, which means bitter, tough. Even Job. We all know the story of Job. God, or before Satan could get to Job, do you remember what he had to do? He had to ask permission of God, and God gave him permission. Now, I want you to understand that, and you have to understand that before we can go any farther with this, with the text. Bad things happen, right? There are different reasons for bad things happen. Sometimes it's just the way things are. Sometimes it's the sin-cursed world. Sometimes God is trying to get a message to His people. But bad things happen. But here's the common factor of whatever's going on that's a crisis. The crisis should always turn us to God without fail. Whatever the crisis is, it should cause our eyes to turn to God in a complete, absolute dependence for God's deliverance. You know, as I look at today, and I don't like to mention this, I've intentionally left this subject out of my preaching for the last several months because I think there's enough about it in the world, but I've got to mention it today. COVID. Right? Now, where did we turn when COVID hit? Vaccinations? You know, there's a lot of people say, well, if everybody just get vaccinated, all our problems would be fixed. Sure, right. And I'm not anti this stuff, okay? I'm asking you where you turned. Did you turn to vaccinations and expect that to deliver us? Or did you, you know, now there's a new drug called an antiviral drug. It's going to take care of COVID, right? We've had a lot of drugs for a long time. I guess my kick was vitamins. You know, when first time I had COVID, I said, okay. I did my reading and I started pushing the vitamins. Vitamin D and multivitamins and all that good stuff. C and zinc and all that, you know. Funny thing, I got COVID again. Oh, but mask. Let's put on mask. If we just all wear a mask, we will put this epidemic down. Social distance. That'll do it. You know what the one thing all those things have in common is? It did not work. We're still fighting the disease. Again, I'm not preaching, teaching against any of that stuff. Right? I'm sure the scientists are probably doing what they can do and doctors are doing what they know how to do and all that. I get that. What I'm asking you is, where did you turn? You see, that word pestilence in verse 13, you know what that word means? It means a plague of disease. When disease comes, what are you supposed to do? The one thing that I have not seen in God's churches, among God's people in this country, is the application of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people will... I mean, when this stuff happens, there's supposed to be a massive turning. God's saying, turn to me, I'm God, I'm still on the throne. I can fix it. You can't. That's what we haven't done. And you understand this, as I preach this, I'd preach it to myself. The one thing we've not done in all the country is gotten serious with God. Got down on our knees, and that's why, you know, that's why we're told when God does this, then verse 14, if my people, if God's people will, that word, if, is an interesting word. It's a conditional word, right? A conditional word that's saying it depends on what I do, how God's going to respond. So when God does these things, if my people who are called by my name, and I point this out to you, if my people who are called by my name, who is that? That's you and I. Okay? I understand he's talking to the nation of Israel at this point in the Old Testament, but I believe with all my heart it's still applicable to you and I. We are, if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. Right? Bought and paid for on the cross of Calvary. So I want you to understand as we get started today, this is talking to us. He did not say, if President Joe Biden will. He did not say, if the Congress of the United States of America will. He did not say, if Black Lives Matter, NAACP, National Rifle Association, or whatever else you want to put it. He didn't say any of that. He didn't even say, if Dr. Fauci. You know what he said? He said, if you, Doug Hambrick, if you, believer, if you will. So what happens next, I want you to understand, depends on you and I. Okay? It depends on our prayer life. Let's look and see what he says, if we will. If my people who are called by my name will, and here's the start, humble themselves. Whew, that's the hard one. To reduce ourselves in rank or importance or status. You understand pride is the problem today among believers, right? And I'm talking about you and I. I'm talking about me. How often have I had the thought of, not a problem, I can handle this. You ever do that? I got this. Don't worry about it. I got it. How silly of me to think I have anything. I can do nothing. How insignificant am I? We're either in that mentality of, I can handle this, or it's my life and I'll live it like I want to live. You ever heard somebody say that? Don't tell me what to do. It's my life. I'll make my own decisions. Do you see the pride there? You see where that's getting in the way of God? The idea here is I first have to lower myself and realize how much I need God. Because therein is my deliverance. And God, if God's, and if they don't, let's consider, if I don't humble myself, what's going to happen? Well, I'm glad you asked. Book of James. Still have your Bibles? The book of James, chapter 4 and verse 6. If there's a pride problem, I want you to understand what you're facing. James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he, that's God, he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, I want you to chew on that just a minute. Okay? God resists the proud. Let's put that in language we understand. That word resist means to oppose. So God opposes the proud. If you've got a pride problem, you are in direct opposition to God because you're saying, God, I don't need you. God, I don't want you. God, this is my life. No! In opposition of God. Now listen, I've had different people through the years against me and in opposition of me, but there's one thing I do know. I do not want God in opposition of me. How sad. I mean, how scary. But look what he says. He didn't just say God is in opposition of the proud. He said, but gives grace to the humble. You have to understand that word grace. You know what that word grace means? It means to favor. So it builds the case of, okay, God's either in your favor, He favors you, or He's in opposition of you. And you understand the choice is ours. It's us. And it starts with a willingness to arrange ourselves under the authority of God. Right? And God is the authority. He is the authority. If He says it's right, it's right. If He says it's wrong, it's wrong. If He leads you to go a direction, that's the direction you need to go. Not my will, but thine be done. It starts with humility. If my people will humble themselves, and what's the second thing it says? And will pray. Okay. That word pray, and used in this context, the Hebrew means to reconcile differences between two people. Okay? I mean, you know, people would back up today and they would say, well, Brother Doug, I've prayed. No, listen, you got to understand the word. It's, have you prayed in a manner to reconcile the differences between you and God? Oh, Brother Doug, there are no differences. Wait a minute. Before you jump to that conclusion, stop and consider your relationship with God. If your relationship with God is a distant relationship, you can, and it feels like God's out there somewhere, you don't know where, you've got a problem. If your prayer life is such that you pray and you get finished with the prayer and there was nothing, there's a problem. Understand, I'm not up here pointing a finger at you today and say, oh, y'all are wicked people. No. No. I'm trying or encouraging you to stop and consider, where are you in relation to God? What differences do you need to work out? What has God called you to do that you're not doing? What has God led you? Where has God led you to go that you're not going? See, when there are differences, you can do one of two things. You can ignore it and pretend it doesn't happen, or pretend there is no problem. Or number two, you can address it and fix it. You know what I've discovered about marriage? There are always differences about something. Any marriage. There are always differences. Now, the older you get, the fewer the differences become. I think it's because I just get wiser and Beth gets wiser of how we can live together in harmony, you know. But point being this, if Beth and I have differences, and I ignore it, guess what's going to happen to our relationship? You see, if it's a big enough difference, every time I see Beth and every time I go home at night, I'm not going to see Beth. I'm going to see what I'm mad about. She's going to remind me of my anger. You know, she doesn't have to tell me as soon as I see. I'm mad at you. Things are not right between us. You know? Oh, but I can pretend. Just go on. But you know, it's a big enough difference that we can't have a good conversation anymore, so I just quit talking to her. It's a big enough difference that, you know, I don't really want to spend time with her because if I'm around her, I'm mad. You say, Brother Doug, are you going to let it go that far? Boy, I certainly hope I'm not that dumb. Because if I let it go and go and go and go, pretty soon our relationship is going to become cold and callous and uncaring and unloving, and we'll just live together. I want more from my marriage than that. Okay? Same things happens in your relationship with God. as long as you're not honest with yourself, as long as you're not honest with God, as long as you pretend like nothing's wrong, nothing's going to be fixed. Nothing. But when you back up and you say, God, I know I've got issues. God, there's this sin in my life that's coming between us. God, my faithfulness to You is suffering. And you begin to work out the differences. And let me tell you, it requires honesty. You can't pretend that you have no problems. You can't pretend that you have no sin. I think that's one of the keys to successful prayer life, is being able to talk to God and be totally honest, which is what most people don't do. The interesting thing is, God knows before you tell Him. He knows the sin that I have. He knows He knows the thing that's getting in the way. And He's waiting for us to say, God, forgive me. Lord, I've allowed this. If God's people will humble themselves and pray, willingly pray, and honestly pray to work out those barriers that have come between God and His people, and if God's people will seek His face, that word seek is a very strong Hebrew word. It means to passionately pursue something, right? It means to... How many of you have something you really, 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 really like a lot? Nobody? Sure we do. Or I hope you do. So much so that you're passionate about it. So much so that it becomes the driving force of your life. That's what we're talking about. If God's people will seek My face, He's saying, if you'll become passionate about God. Again, darling, I'm sorry I'm using you a lot today, but I love you. And I appreciate your patience. But when Beth and I were dating, I was very passionate about that young lady. Very passionate. I worked on the farm. I drove tractors all day. I shoveled levees all day. I worked. And I'd get off, you know, during the summertime, it doesn't get dark till 9. So I'd get there at 7 o'clock in the morning or earlier, and I'd work until dark. And you know why I worked? So I could make money. You know what I did with the money? I worked so I could make money so I could take Beth on a date. I would make money. Beth and I would go on a date. In that day, I'm from a small town called Desark. So, you know, there wasn't much date stuff to do in Desark. If you were going on a date, you went to Little Rock. Went to the movies. All that stuff. And so I'd work all day, get off. We'd go to Little Rock and get there, you know, could never make the 7 o'clock movie. We'd make the 9 or after movie. By the time we watched the movie, got back home at the end of the date, and, you know, it's 1 o'clock or better. And at the end of the date, I would already start thinking of, okay, I want to take her out tomorrow. I want us to have another date tomorrow. And so I would get home at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and work on the farm again all day. Yes, I've changed. My bedtime now is around 9, 9:30. I'm not going to make it through tomorrow if I don't get a good 8 hours. But I was young then. And I was passionate about Beth. I was trying to win her. My relationship with her was very important to me. That's what we're talking about here. When we say, if God's people will seek His face. Do you remember what it was like to be passionate about God? Have you ever been passionate about God? Where you couldn't get enough? Where church was so important that you just couldn't stand to miss? Where when preaching was just such feeding that you couldn't stand to miss preaching and teaching in Sunday school? Do you remember? Do you ever remember getting out of church and just thinking, I can't wait till we come back? Because I want more of God. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Same thing that happens in a lot of marriages. You see, after I won Beth and put a ring on her finger, I realized something. I didn't have to win her anymore because I had her. And I began to not do the things I once did. Not be passionate. Not put her on the pedestal that I'd put her on when we were dating. And to, you know, not put her first. And you know what? We kind of went through that. My fault. We kind of went through that period where I wasn't such a good husband. Not saying I'm great now. Don't. But I'll tell you this. She's second in my life only to God. Okay? I want her to know I'm still passionate about her. I want her to be, you know, I want her to love me. I want to have a good relationship with her. But even more, I want to have a good relationship with God. Now I ask you, I want you to go back to the time. You remember what it was like to talk to God when you knew He was listening? You remember what it was like to be excited about Bible study, excited about prayer. That's what we're talking about here. Here's our problem. Revelation chapter 3. Most Christians today. And I say this shooting it at me as well as y'all, okay? Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. Church at Laodicea. I know your works. I know your works. That you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. God said, I wished you'd give me something to work with. So then because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. How does God feel about you? If God's people will once again seek His face, come to that point where religion as usual is not enough. Truly believe we'll see things begin to change. If my people will turn from their wicked ways, get back over here. If my people will turn, you know what that literally reads in the Hebrew? If my people will turn from the road that is bad. Have you ever been on a road and zone out and kind of come to your senses and a little later and you wind up, you're somewhere, and think, where am I? I must have missed something. I was going to one place, but man, I'm over here. See, that's where a lot of Christians are. Now they go to church. They're pretty good people. And they're zoned out, thinking that's enough. It's time to get off that road. You know, many's the time I've been on the interstate and missed my exit. What do you do when you miss your exit or you get on the wrong road? You stop. you realize, hey, this is not going to get me where I want to go. Where do we want to go? We want to go and we want to grow into a stronger and deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's the goal of this study. Are you on that road? Are the things that you're building your life around today, are they the things that are going to take you to that strong prayer life, that strong Bible study life, that strong relationship with God, that strong faith? If it's not taking you there, why stay on the road? It makes no sense. You got to back up and say, hey, time for a change. Time for me to do something different. Time for me to turn. You see, God says if we will do those things, if we'll humble ourselves, if we'll pray, if we'll seek His face, if we will turn, get off the road we're on that's taking us nowhere, and turn where? Turn to God. I love the last part of verse 14. If we will do those things, if, then God says in the middle of verse 14, then I will. Isn't that awesome? You know what that word then means? It means at that time. It's a condition. If my people will, then, when they do, then I will. It does not say, if my people promise to do these things. It does not say, if my people think about it, or try to do better. It doesn't say that. It says, if my people will, then I will. I will what? Then God will hear. You want to quit praying those prayers that you know are not getting beyond the ceiling? Go back to the body of this message. My people will. If my people will. You're going to pray prayers that you know you've communed with God? Go back in the body of what we've been talking about. If we do those things, God will hear. And not only will He hear, He'll forgive. Now we're making progress. You cannot go to God and say, Lord, I've done these things and there are things in my life that are harming our relationship. Lord, please forgive me. And God's not going to say, sorry. You know God doesn't hold grudges, right? If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we will, God will hear, and God will forgive, and finally, God will heal. There are a lot of people who need healing today. In closing, I want you to just stop a minute, and I want to think about where you need healing. We need healing as a nation. From this COVID stuff. But there's some deeper healing that needs to go on. There are some marriages that are falling apart that are just, that need healing. God can't heal as long as you're too stubborn to humble yourself. There are families who are being bombarded, and children who are making bad decisions and breaking the hearts of their parents. They need healing. There are people who are scarred because of something that happened a year ago, 2, 3, 5, 10 years ago. They're scarred. There are grudges from things that happened 2, 3, 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago that we carry that need healing. So when you stop and you think about it, you begin to realize that, oh my goodness, we need God. And we do. And apart from God, things will not change. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what you're doing is not working. You need the forgiveness that Jesus bought and paid for on the cross of Calvary. Will you come for salvation today? If you're here today and you've been carrying these grudges and, you know, and think, well, it'll eventually get better. No, it won't. It won't until you answer the ifs of God's people here. Last statement. Please listen. God's next move depends upon what you do right now. Our Father in heaven, I pray your will be done. That you will move freely among your people this morning. I pray, Lord, that you will light the fires of revival. Let it begin today. But most of all, Lord, I pray that I will answer the ifs that you have brought out in your word. I pray your will be done. In the name of Jesus, I pray.